Hello, Dimitri.
Hello, Meredith. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you for another conversation. There are so many things to talk about right now. What I would like for us to discuss today is in the United States right now is a big, big division between the two major political parties because there's a presidential election coming up in a few weeks. And it's really sucked everyone in and gotten everyone really caught in this left versus right. And so I wanted to talk a bit about that controlled opposition and the presidential election and things that you and I have been seeing in dreams. Maybe get a deeper understanding or perspective of what's going on and why it's so dangerous. You know, that's why I wanted to talk about this, because it's pulling so many people in.
Absolutely. You know, I think the challenge is to shed light on it. You know, the one of the things I think is playing a big, big role here is what we always talk about as a controlled opposition. And, you know, to put a bigger light on that, because, you know, the idea of the checkered board, which, you know, I think I made a video lately, a live of it, of the Katy Perry video clip where, you know, everything is done in terms of these white and black chessboard. The problem with elections or with political elections in general, it, you know, is that the chessboard kind of a thing, you know, where once you remain on that level, it sort of locks you down in what I call a first person perspective, where you're not able to self-reflect. And that what that means is you're not able to see your own self. You see everything in terms of the other. So, like, you know, to boil this down to a very tangible example is what I recently posted on Facebook, where I said, you know, people would go like, okay, so how do I get out of the relationship with the narcissist? And then, how do I get away from the narcissist? And it's basically what happens when you're on that checkered board or that controlled opposition interaction with someone is you want to get rid of what you are basically fueling in the other, you know, which is you're stuck in a sort of a empath, you know, overly victim role where you sort of, you know, you feel like, you know, I will change this person if I trust more in them or if I please them more, while my very behavior is what is fueling the very narcissism in the other that I want to change in the other. So, that, you know, that just gives like a little example how once you're on that chessboard grid, it's very difficult to truly see your own role, you know, in basically creating what you are fighting out there, you know. So what I say often is, you know, we are within the controlled opposition, we are basically pushing each other into full extreme opposites of ourselves. And then we can never really see our role, but we're always seeing the other role. You know, it's like, no, you are a narcissist, you know, you are evil, and I am not seeing, you know, that I am in the exact full opposite, which is equally, you know, wrong. You know, so
equally off balance. And that's the thing that we have to look at, why not focused on them, what they are doing, but what am I doing? Why am I in this situation?
Right.
Why am I locked into this interaction, this entanglement? And I have to disentangle from that, not change them. I have to change me.
You see, and that is now one of the major features of the controlled opposition problem, you know, which is visualized as this chessboard. And that is that once I'm sucked onto it, it becomes very, very difficult to self-reflect, meaning, you know, you would see this in political situations. For instance, the moment any issue, you know, enters the political arena, you will get that it dies because one side, you know, will be blind to their role within it, and they will only see the other, you know, as being the problem. So if that issue comes anywhere near my camp, I become fully blind to it, you know. Then, so for instance, with the child trafficking issue, you know, which has become maybe one of the main major issues in the coming elections, you get that, you know, we can only see it in the other. You know, people would go like, yeah, but you know, no, you know, they would go like, yeah, but isn't that like, no, the thing is, this is the gravity and the seriousness of it. And that is that it blinds one side to them, to their role within the issue.
Yes, because it's much, much easier to look at the bad that someone else is doing, or the wrong, or the sin, or whatever you call it. It's much, much easier to see it in them. And then it becomes like tunnel vision, like just stuck on that. And it does, it blinds from everything. And then we don't want to, because we already have the bad guy out there. So there's no reason to look inward, but it, like you said, it just keeps us just locked in on that checkerboard and locked into these extremes. And the further apart the poles are, the more opposition inside, and the harder it is to get them back together, especially when we're locked, our vision is locked outward and not reflecting inward. But, you know, this is fueled and wanting to keep people in this state. And this is the problem and the danger, because when you're in that state, you don't see that you're in that state, and you don't see the danger of always looking outward and not looking inward.
You see, and that is like, you know, one of the, so people would not imagine, you know, that the very checkered board grid is the lockdown. You know, it is the lockdown in the sense that we keep looking out, you know, outward, not seeing how we are creating what it is we're trying to fight or change out there. And also it keeps us in a an outside in direction of awareness, meaning the outside keeps directing me via, you know, because I am fully reactive towards the outside, meaning, because the only way out really, you know, of the bubble, you know, whatever your bubble is, you know, but is to go what I call inside out, because it means to stop reacting to something, which is to stop fueling it, you know. So this is important. A very sophisticated mind control construct, if you wish, you know, this chessboard or checkerboard. This is why it appears in all of these videos. It's the thing, because, you know, so once you're in it, you know, you don't even realize what the nature of it is, because, you know, it's somewhat even, you know, referred to this as the matrix or whatever. But the point is that it keeps your consciousness in a state of a controlled opposition, meaning that I keep reacting to that, you know, to that opposite outside of myself, which means I keep fueling it while, you know, I think I need to change it. So, you know, I think I need to change reality, you know, out there, while basically I am creating it together with the thing I'm fighting.
Yes. And I just want to mention this before we go any further, when you said about I need to stop reacting, and we do by being self-reflective, but there is another way to not react to the outside in an upside down way, which is being fully out of body. So we're not locked in on that checkerboard because we're not even there. And we can be fooled into thinking that we're going beyond the opposites, but it's really just going out of body. And so we need to make sure when we're not reacting, that it's not that upside down way of not reacting and the right side up self-reflective way of not reacting, but making a conscious choice and responding and containing my own shadow and my own feelings and seeing my part in this interaction.
No, that is extremely important because, you know, thank you for bringing that up because that's exactly the point. Because once you say, you know what, you need to stop reacting, most people, you know, especially nowadays, you would hear any amount of sayings or techniques or whatever that would go like, oh, you know, let go of it, mm-hmm. or, you know, don't give a damn, you know, of what, you know, they're all ways of going basically from one extreme to the next. And the only way off of the checkered board, which is a mind control template, is to say, you know, I'm not going to go too much into attachment on something, but neither fully disattach, but to find what we call the edge, which would be to step back and not let fully go, you know, step back, but don't run away, and then reorient the awareness towards the inner third person, you know, which would be where we can self-reflect and get back close to ourselves, you know, and ask ourselves, okay, so what are we doing, you know, and how am I fueling, you know, whatever I am trying to change
out there. Yes, trying to stop or fight or retreat it there. But also when you say to stop reacting, it also doesn't mean that I don't feel anything, because that can also be a misinterpretation or misunderstanding of what not reacting is. Not a knee-jerk unconscious response that you say this and I say that back and we're locked into this fight. But it doesn't mean that I don't feel anything. It just means that I feel whatever gets triggered by whatever was said, and I own and contain my own feelings as my own.
No, exactly, because if you work with someone and that person, you work with them one, you know, you talk to them one time and they're sober and they're not using any, you know, psychiatric drugs, let's say anxiety, and then you work with the next time you meet them, they're using these anxiety drugs, you will, for instance, see the difference, what you just mentioned. You will see someone going from, you know, extreme high levels of anxiety to not feeling no anxiety. What you see is someone who basically is not there. They're not feeling the anxiety, but they're neither feeling anything. You know, I call that stuff the psychological chemotherapy. Yeah. It kills the good and the bad cells, but it creates an empty vessel, meaning, you know, there's no feeling left. And there's no way to find, you know, to reach, to heal and to contain enough in order to, you know, to go out of the bubble the right way if you don't feel. This is very important for people to realize the difference, you know. On the one hand, we are feeling, but we're not allowing, you know, the feelings to control us fully. But we, you know, we're containing the opposites.
Sorry,
go ahead. It's okay.
But also not blaming the other for what I'm feeling. I'm feeling this because it's already inside of me. The other person triggers it, but it's mine.
Absolutely. So that's the whole thing with the right side up processing.
Not reacting, yes.
Exactly. You know, where we say, you know, it's not like it, not reacting there is not feeling, you know, it's owning, you know, what is triggered within, acknowledging it, not letting go of the opposite of it, you know, and the processing becomes when, you know, when the two sides merge, collide in us, and then you get a, you know, we call it a combustion, or you get a change of the states, you know, from the bipolarity of, you know, the extreme low and extreme high to some another form of energy, but not by excluding mm-hmm. either side, and you know, and the upside down going out of body would be more like, you know, this oxymoronic state, you know, where you are sort of feeling both sides, but an extreme polarity of themselves, due to which it becomes impossible to sort of, you know, contain them. And that's like the upside down going out of body or combustion. And that's basically also, you know, what we have discussed in a prior conversation. That would be like the upside down rapture, if you wish. You know, this is the way people are going out of body and, you know, going deep down into the black hole. And right, there's a big, big confusion regarding, you know, what is not reacting. It's completely misunderstood as being, you know, let go fully, or, you know, don't, you know, zone out, you know. And that often comes as the reaction from being too attached to something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not that stepping back, but not letting go fully and finding that center, that edge where the two can touch, you know, and so where that fire and the water can touch and create the vapor, you know, that vapor is the state where we go out of the bubble or off the magnetic grid. And you know, Meredith, it's the more we do this work, the more we realize that we need to guard that state, you know, of vapor with our lives, because whenever we're sucked down onto these magnetic, you know, grid dramas, you lose yourself, you know. It's a form of self-loss, because, you know, it's impossible on the magnetic grid to remain self-reflective. You know, it's basically being sucked into a first person, extremely too close state towards the outside, you know.
Yes. And so that's the big difference, is And how, you know, if someone wants to know, well, how do I know what state I'm in? It's where your attention is. If my attention is all on the other, whether the other is a political party, whether the other is a person in a relationship or at work or family member, if my attention is all on them and what they are doing wrong and what they need to change, that's focused too much outward.
And that is it, you see, and that is it, because it becomes impossible for you to see yourself, you know, if you're only looking outside. So politically, it's a very powerful tool to keep a whole party completely oblivious of its own issues. You know, and only focus on the other one, and only focus, you know, and it's you know, it's basically you find this stuff in all religions. It's a cult, you know, it's the cult template, because, you know, I once asked someone, you know, okay, so what's the most important thing, you know, your organization does, and it was regarding, you know, a religious organization, and they say, you know, the most important thing for us is to go from, you know, from house to house and preach to others, you know. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, when so how important is it to work on yourself, you know? How much importance does that have, you know, within the organization? And it was, you know, well, you know, we talk about that and all of that, but the main thing is to go out there, you know, and preach to others and convert others, you know. So this is the template where the other, you know, I mean, it's basically, it's the essential template that the whole system, you know, lives on, because in even in governance models, you know, you don't manage yourself first and then manage the other. You know, we manage the other. Mm-hmm. That's why the system has become so corrupt, because it's a non-self-reflective system.
It's a vampire system.
Yes, it's and people will you know, this stuff is very serious. It's a system that, as long as we remain on that controlled opposition template, it becomes impossible to look at yourself. And the only way out is via self-reflection, you know. So this is why I believe that a lot of what has been leaked out in terms of the child trafficking, you know, and the pedophilia at the highest levels has been done deliberately, you know. It has been done deliberately because it will keep people fighting the problem outside. You know, it will keep people, for instance, going after some group outside, which will make it extremely difficult to work on themselves, you know. And you know, what have we seen in most of these protests globally is that, you know, these protests, they're filled with abusers themselves, because these are people that are, you know, going out to fight the pedophiles out there, unaware that they very often they themselves are either, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's the perfect cover, because if you're out there, quote, fighting the pedophiles and fighting for victims of sex trafficking, it really is a perfect cover, because, you know, someone who's doing that, seemingly someone who's sexually abusing children, seemingly wouldn't be out there fighting them, but they are, as you say, because even when you were talking about the church, there's so much sexual abuse in all the churches, especially the Catholic Church, and, you know, even different charities that are set up for victims or different organizations. Those are a great hiding place for abusers themselves. And then even the victims who seemingly get out of sex trafficking, they're still controlled, and so they're still playing a role and reading a script, even though they may appear to be free. Their mind isn't free, because they haven't fully deprogrammed from that. So they use them to sell a script and a story that they want.
No, but you see, and that is that. This is why it's so so powerful, because a lot of these, you know, let's say either victim or perpetrator who is still, you know, stuck, you know, they will, this is how complex it is. You will have this, let's say this abuser go into such a protest march and not even themselves knowing it, that, you know, that they are hunting down the pedophile out there while, you know, they are one themselves. So this, it's not even, you know, it's the, this is how powerful this is. It's most of this is happening unconsciously. So meaning they themselves are not even aware, you know, that they're looking for themselves. I was approached recently to consult on a movie that is being made on pedophilia, and but the gist of it was this, and that is that someone on the very team of the homicide team of the police force that was hunting down this serial killer pedophile was themselves a a pedophile. And the thing is that, so the same way the victims suffer from multiple identity, so do the perpetrators, meaning that they also have shielded themselves off from seeing it in themselves. Yeah, so they're going to look for it out there. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to, you know, and so, and I just saw a poster, you know, I want to mention this, and we put it up on the video because it's a poster of Trump, and it says this. It says, in the invisible war for the future of our republic, the tables are now turned. And now it comes, the hunters become the hunted. And so, and you know what? It's amazing because in that script, the idea of the hunter becoming the hunted, what it means is that you're hunting down outside what you are. You know, so now you have the QAnon, it's called www.qanon.pub # save the children, you know? And so you're hunting down what would then be now, you know, the those that were the hunters. See, that's what it means with the hunters become the hunted. But then you yourself are hunting down what you also are, you see?
But it's also becoming the hunted, then playing the role of the victim too.
Exactly.
And then, you know, attaching to that of being a victim, and, you know, Trump does do this where he and people around him claim that the media is attacking him and other people are attacking him and he's being attacked for these things. But he does a lot of attacking also, but he doesn't see that.
You see, the thing is that once you're on the chessboard, it's impossible to see yourself. So another part of the poster reads, below the depths of the DC swamp, the hunt is on. You see, so what you have two groups, you know, one is hunting the other down for being, you know, involved in the child trafficking and all of that. But the hunter is also involved. Because it's the chessboard, it becomes almost important. People would go like, you know, it's unbelievable, you know, that this would be done, you know, consciously, because it's not being done consciously. You know, listen, I've seen in these protests, abusers literally being the strongest in these protests to so-called hunt down the abusers out there, you know?
Well, and, you know it.
Uh-huh, sorry.
Sorry, but I was going to say, you know, at the core, their own shadow wants them to be caught. They their shadow and their core self wants the truth exposed.
Absolutely, you know, but this is why, like in the movie Silence of the Lambs, you know, she's hunting down this serial killer, but she's basically, you know, looking for her own past. You know, she's looking for her own abuse. Yeah.
Because even, you know, you said the abusers and the perpetrators are out there in these protests, you know, looking for the bad guy out there, but the victims too, like, and again, if we are being more self-reflective, if our focus is out there on child sex trafficking and abusers and everything's out there, if we can turn it inward and reflect, why am I looking at this? Why am I hunting out there? Maybe it has something to do with me or my past or my experience in some way. And that, it, just like for the abusers to hide behind the bad guy out there, the victims too. And like you said, unconsciously, not knowing consciously, they were victims of sex trafficking or sex abuse. But if your focus is out there and you're so focused on it out there, that has to tell you something about yourself.
No, exactly. And also it will, it's not the way out, because it's the way to fuel, you know, this is how intricate this is, because the more you fight it out there, the stronger you make it, you know, that's the tragedy of this. You know, and also, as you say, the victims going out there and protesting and hunting down, while they themselves haven't really, you know, gotten out, what that does is it becomes fully outside. And also they are doing this within a still existing Stockholm syndrome, you know, that they haven't really solved. So what that does is they will look for some, what I call, yeah, a Stockholm messiah. It means, because what we've seen is that if you, you know, if you've gotten a lot of, if you've retrieved a lot of memory, you know, of the trafficking and of the abuse, but you haven't done the necessary shadow work to fully get out, you know, you will either remain or you will go back in a Stockholm state where you will look for another abuser as a savior, you know. And again, people do not know how powerful this is. This is technology, meaning once you're on that chessboard, you cannot make choices, you know, from the inside out. It's you will react, and in that reacting, they will control you. Equally, once you're in this Stockholm state, you will look for a fake savior. You know, it's almost like programmed into the whole thing. So, and so obviously, then, you know, they will then, you know, reorient themselves towards another false messiah, you know, and people think, and you know, what has to be said regarding the false messiah, Meredith, is that we need to, this is another crucial aspect, and that is, until you haven't really closed what we call the back door, you know, and that does not happen only by recalling repressed memories of abuse. Because I was looking at this Netflix movie yesterday. It's called Wretched or something. And this woman then, this man hit in a psychiatric ward, is the psychiatrist hypnotizes the woman who is suffering from multiple identity disorder to get out these repressed memories, mind you, with hypnosis. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that then you haven't really, you know, retrieved memory, because it's been done in a state of hypnosis. You're still asleep. And a lot of these MK Ultra victims that have been coming forward as victims of trafficking, and who have now sort of, you know, come forward and, you know, seen in Trump this savior, most of them have retrieved their memories via hypnosis, you know? So what happens then is, you know, you think you're out, you know everything that's happened, you haven't really gotten it out, you know, in a conscious way. The back door is still open. You're still in Stockholm. You're still looking for some false savior outside, you know, and what it means is that via the back door, you can still be fed or inceptioned with false dreams. Mm-hmm. So the internet, you know, is currently flooded with dreams, you know, of Trump being some savior. And these dreams are being had by people who are still, you know, in this lower grid.
And that's that's what I was saying before about the victims not fully being out, then they use them to promote this script. And there are many of them. And like you said, they're looking for a savior out there. And Trump is definitely being sold as that and promoted as that. And I think especially in the new age and light worker communities, which would be, as you say, very, very much either not having gone deep enough or gotten memories at all, or certainly not going deep enough to fully deprogram. And I've also seen not dreams, but people having like psychic visions of things about Trump in that regard also. So those can definitely be inceptioned and hijacked to tell a particular story.
The whole false savior kind of thing, you know, it is part and parcel of the Stockholm syndrome, you know. It's part and parcel of the Stockholm syndrome where you will, you know, you look for somebody outside, you know. This is why the Disney princesses, they're all looking, you know, for the savior figure on a white horse and all of that.
Yes.
And, you know, so this is, it makes a lot of sense, you know, that we need to keep in mind that the more someone is spiraling down onto the chessboard and even below that, that the whole thing goes in reverse, you know, the whole psychology goes in reverse, meaning I will look for the abuser for a savior. You know, people people go like, you know what, come on, you know, that's people. No, it is really powerful. It is really powerful that you will see the abusers as saviors, and you will see those that genuinely want to help you as the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes in reverse. And, you know, those of us who have some experience working with this, you know, we know how powerful this is. This is, you know, when we talk about the back door, this means they break into your mind. They have the ability to break into your mind. As we've seen, all of the movies are showing, you know, what is really happening, you know, and the movie Inception, in a very powerful way, showed, you know, how they break into someone's mind. You know, so your mind is like a private space. The abuse, it creates this multiple identity structure, but foremostly, it creates a back door. You know, we've created these computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've created them in our own image. So the same way a computer, you know, via back doors can be hacked, this is what happens. So then, and we've seen this, you know, when somebody gets out, sort of closes up that back door, then, you know, they sort of go off, then, you know, they're able to break back into their minds. So we're talking about the mind as being the, you know, the ultimate spot, you know, that has been conquered, you know, taken over. It's a mental, you know, in Holland right now, regarding the pandemic, the first wave, they were talking about managing the behavior of the virus, meaning the way the virus would behave, you know. They literally, you know, were speaking about, that was their management model. Obviously, that's ridiculous, you know, so it didn't work. And now we have the second wave, and now they're talking about managing behavior, literally. You know, that's what the Dutch government is basically talking about.
The behavior of people?
Yes. So now they're saying the only way, you know, to stop the spreading is by managing the behavior of people. You know, they're literally saying this. And so the point is, everything has now converged towards even openly and blatantly so, you know, that people want to manage people's heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people want to manage people's heads, and it's all about mind control. And it's become now openly like this. You know, people are literally, I mean, the Dutch government is literally admitting that they are trying to manage people's and influence people's behavior, you know, regarding the virus and all of that, you know, which is kind of frightening. You shouldn't be saying you want to control people's behavior. That in and of itself is suspect.
It is, but that's, you know, that's essentially what's happening here in the United States, where with all the studies and the information and information overload and all these things coming out about the virus, what they're doing is trying to manipulate and control people but not calling it that. It's really the same thing, but I saw an article today and it was talking about how the virus now mutated so much that social distancing and wearing masks aren't effective to prevent it or whatever. So again, it will be more lockdown or more severe restrictions will be what are proposed to make people feel safe or whatever. So it is controlling and manipulating people, but not calling it that, saying as if it's for their own good or it's their own choice, but it is a form of manipulating them into that.
Yeah, you know, and that is exactly the way they roll it out, you know, like Elon Musk would say, you know, this chip, this whatever link, you know, we're going to help.
Neuralink.
Yeah, you know, we're going to help people walk and blind people see. They roll it out, you know, so-called, you know, it's for the good and all of that. And then it's out, you know, the genie is out of the bottle. And then, you know, they take it from there. And the thing is that, so getting back to, right. So the thing is, the whole thing is to control your mind. The hunter is becoming the hunted, you know, which is a little bit, you know, the idea of, you know, Trump and his people, you know, locking up and finding these pedophiles is ridiculous, because what we know now is that, for instance, it makes no sense whatsoever to go out and try to get all of the Vatican pedophiles, you know, arrested. It's just totally ridiculous, because you're not going to get the system to lock itself up, you know. It's a loss of time. Beyond that, it's a way to distract you from your focus, because there's no justice system on this planet that will lock itself up, because it's a very justice system, you know, that protects this. What is important for people to realize, you know, that how to truly, you know, get off this magnetic board or get out of the bubbles that they're in order to find the right track, you know, the right timeline, which, you know, which is not getting lost on the, you know, this one that has gone fully upside down already, you know, and it's about going into reflection, you know, looking at ourselves, the living water, the true wisdom of God is self-consciousness. By becoming more reflective, we go deeper into our own self, and that's where we find another timeline, and it's not outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say about it's not outside. That's the whole thing of MK programming, is that the trauma is used to fragment and split the mind, where the person is fully emptied out and everything has to be gotten from the outside, their identity, their sense of self. And so if they haven't fully deprogrammed, then of course they look for, they need someone or something on the outside, and will go back to abusers or a false savior or someone, because it's like they've set it up. It's almost like a fail-safe kind of mechanism where even if they start to get out, if they haven't fully, they'll go right back because their focus is externalized because they're so, they've been so programmed in their whole lives to seek and find everything on the outside and intentionally emptied out on the inside and filled with programs and filled with other things that it's very easy to slip back into that. So it has to be very, you know, a lot of self-awareness to see that that's what's happening.
That's it, you know, right. It's exactly that. The search for something outside to save them, projecting the self outward, you know, looking for a savior or a partner, you know, that you, something out there, you know, that we feel will save us, which is like, you know, the essence of that external focus. And this is why we go back to the saying that the kingdom is within. Kingdom is within, and the self with the capital S is this inner savior, you know. It's only via connecting to that that we find that inner kingdom. And also the shadow translates to, you know, carrying around these false illusions, which could be seen as, you know, luggage. I saw a dream today in which a group, which I think is, you know, is this effort, was moving out of a desert, you know, moving out of the desert. The desert is where, you know, there is no more yin and yang, there's no more nature, but they were moving out of it, going back, and was being said that, you know, the time is short, we need to move because, you know, it is here, you know, the big shift. And the people who were like guiding others to get up, to get to the right side, they were literally telling them to leave all of what is unnecessary behind, you know, like clothes or whatever. People were just carrying all kinds of stuff along with them. People were literally screaming at them and saying, you know, no, you need to leave it all behind, and you know, you need to leave all of your illusions behind, which are the projections and which is the shadow that we don't want to deal with within. And so all of that unnecessary stuff, all of that luggage, you know, is what needs to be left behind in terms of not believing in it in terms of projections, you know, and remaining stuck in those bubbles. So, you know, so it's very important for people to know that, you know, the kingdom is within and you need to leave all of that stuff now. Stop living in these projections and see them for what they are. Yeah.
And you and I both have been seeing in dreams that the raptures are happening and that people need, you know, like the dream you just said, they need to be aware that this is happening. This is really happening. We are in these times that are end times, but not in the sense of the earth ending, but it's for those of us who achieve to turn our focus inward and find that kingdom within, the false world is ending, you know, but the raptures are happening and the harvest, it's harvest time.
So you have the wave level of reality, you know, maybe we can end with this, but you have the wave level of reality and you have the particle level. The quantum is the wave and the particle is, you know, is this time and space grid we're in, you know, at the macro level. What is happening is that if you look at the movies, all of the movies are sort of situating themselves back into the wave state. There's a recent movie called Tenet, in which they were able to reverse time. That comes exactly out of the quantum world, where they are able to reverse time at the quantum level of subatomic reality. So what we're witnessing is that we are, both sides are sort of re-entering are entering the wave state of reality, which is the quantum level, you know. So if you wish the veil that so many have so often spoken of, the veil is between the particle and the wave, right? And the self with the capital S is the wave state of self, which inhabits a quantum or wave state reality. So what is happening is that we are moving out of the particle state, which is 3D. 3D is disintegrating. Many people are dreaming with the disintegration of that. Like, you know, like what we saw the other day, this hotel crumbling down and all of that. So 3D is disintegrating, and the side that has not worked and processed the shadow sort of goes to like a quantum physicality in the virtual. And those that I just spoke about, you know, leaving the desert and going to the true quantum, you know, they're going back to the wave state of reality, because the self is the wave state of the self. So there is a rapture happening. There is, these two timelines are being raptured out of 3D, you know, into these two wave state realities. And we need to know this, because we are witnessing an enormous amount of dreams with this. You know, it's become, when everybody, this is important, when everybody is dreaming with the same dream, you see, it means that we are entering a shared dream zone. And that is the way, that is what they call singularity, or what we call the wave level of reality. And that means that the timeline that is dreaming with the same dreams, you know, of people dreaming, you know, that they are sort of being raptured to another reality, it means that that reality will become the real, the default or the real reality for them. This is what's happening. This is why there are many, many dreams of people disappearing. What it means that they disappear to each other's timelines. And it's real. And you can see it in the movies. The movies are already going deep into the wave state. The whole superhero thing.
Well, what you said about people disappearing in the upside down wave, that, you know, before we talked about individual self-loss, well, this is even beyond that, because if there's no individual self with a capital S, when mixed in with the collective in that wave state, they're not strong enough to stand up in that. And so it just becomes like a mush, you know, like jello or goo, really. And in the right side up wave state, the individual self with capital S can withstand that, being in the shared dream, being in the collective state, but still remaining in a true individual.
That's the whole thing, you know. And so this is why this timeline that goes upside down, you know, becomes fully virtual. There, it's basically the end, you know, the end of the being. The black hole means, you know, there is no more inherent essential being in the person. You know, people think the black hole is out there in space. No, the black hole is in every one of us, and it's the feeling when we've lost all meaning to our lives. You know, that's the bottomless empty pit, which people try to fill up with all kinds of external stuff. Mm-hmm. It just means that the self with the capital S has died. You know, that's the star, has died. And what stays over is a black hole. And there's no amount of filling that up from the outside that will fill it. It just keeps it getting more and more empty. Mm-hmm. And we have investigated the black hole from the psychological side. And it's a feeling of complete emptiness. It's a feeling, mm-hmm. you know, it's beyond feeling. Mm-hmm. It's literally beyond feeling. And it's literally you know, what you just said, it's literally the full and total self-loss, you know, it's the end of the self. And you know, this is, you know, with the sayings in the Bible that man, you know, cannot live by bread alone, but by the words uttered, you know, from the mouth of God. What they're saying is that if the self, if the being loses connection with that, with those words, which are the true selves or the true self, you get a zombie, and then that is what is uploaded to this upside down wave grid, and it's basically the end, you know, of the being. And this is how serious this is, and it's upon us. You know, we're seeing it happening before our very eyes. You know,
And that too, the zombie theme has been in so many movies and TV shows, and even the virtual world, that's in numerous. I think there's an Amazon series called Upload that it's supposed to be, I guess, a comedy of this guy that gets uploaded to a virtual reality. But there are lots and lots of depictions of this, and not showing what really, really is happening. I mean, it's not a comedy.
No, and you know, maybe for another conversation, but the whole idea of what is the meaning of the virtual reality, you know, the virtual reality means a reality that has no more reality to it. I mean, you know, that's the whole idea of virtual. And it means that the God of that reality is not real. This is why what we would call darkness, the embodiment of darkness, is the absence of the light. So it's a reality based on nothing real anymore. Mm-hmm. It's totally virtual. You know, that's the point. The essence of the self with the capital S is that is the core, you know, the real core of things. So you know, the right timeline is returning to the wave state, which we would call the true ultimate essential nature of things, you know, while 3D would be the particle state, which physicists have always known. We're somehow in a 3D state, experiencing our own projections, which is like a simulation. So we've never really been in reality in this realm, you know. We've had glimpses, for instance, when we're in the now, you know, the now is an example of what ultimate, you know, what the wave is, which is the true real reality, living reality. But to a very large extent, you know, people live in their own projections and in their own bubbles, which is simulations. And from those bubbles, they're being uploaded to a mm-hmm. deeper virtual reality, you know, like there's this movie called Dreams or something on internet. I even think there's also Minecraft, in which within a game, they're able to create another reality, a virtual reality. You know, that's like saying within that projection bubble or simulation, you can create another bubble, you know.
Yes.
And right, so that virtual reality basically means, you know, it's a pity that, you know, people like Elon Musk get, you know, so much airtime because they don't know the meaning of this stuff, you know. They don't know it. The whole idea of the virtual, it means that there is no more reality. There's no more essence, you know, and that is the nature of what people would call, you know, the devil, which is the absence of all self. That's what alien means. Alien mm-hmm. means something
alienated.
Yeah, exactly, something outside of the human core story. You know, people don't know the meaning of this stuff,
yeah.
And they just, you know, they just verbalize and they don't even know. You know, you need to listen to the meaning of the things, mm-hmm. and you know, so right.
So maybe just to kind of wrap up, so the two wave states are people are being attracted or raptured to them, and the right side up and the real quantum wave state, you know, in that state we're not lost in projections, and so it opens up That's the miracle. It opens up all possibilities because we're not locked into our projection or some idea or conditional outcome where we're open, and that's the space that miracles can and do happen.
Wonderful, exactly. And you know, and it is the miracle, the true miracle world, you know, what Disney has been trying to mimic, but it is the true wonderful world, you know, world filled of wonder. And, mm-hmm. and that's what the whole wave quantum world, you know, people are all obsessed with it because it's, you know, all of the limiting laws of physics break down and you get infinite possibilities. But yes, that is where we are returning to, you know, but we need to drop all of the fake stuff, you know, and the bubbles. And we need to see, if you ask me, and maybe we can end with this,
okay.
You know, the whole Trump thing is actually, even though what we said, you know, how hard it is to be on the chessboard and to see this stuff, but it is a mm-hmm. wonderful opportunity to see that the whole thing is false, you know, mm-hmm. the whole thing is false because, you know, both sides have been caught up in this child trafficking stuff, you know, and if anything, as you said, I think earlier, they are in a way, you know, trying to expose themselves to themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know,
but unconsciously and unknowingly, but that,
right.
that really, that's what this, you know, extreme fight to find the bad guy. It really is a drive coming from inside the self, but totally, completely not aware of that
exactly,
at all.
Exactly. Exactly. They're trying to see, you know, that as the script I mentioned, you know, that the serial killer is trying to see himself, that he is the serial killer, you know, but he's so walled off, you know, to himself, you know, that he has to look for it outside. But
yeah, so maybe as a last note to just remind people to look at what you're looking at and where you're looking and why are you looking at this?
Yes, and look at what you are looking at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look at the looking, but remain close to yourself, remain self-reflective, then you will see your own shadow, you know, and that is the way out, the true way out, you know. The true way out is not to try to
fight
out, you know, hunt down the hunters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a fight, and it's certainly not outward. Because outward leads to outward. It leads to more alienation and
exactly.
leaving the body, leaving the earth. So the focus being outward cannot be the right way.
So thank you so much, Meredith.
Yes. Thank you.